September 10th, 2025. Welcome back to This Week in Waukesha, the podcast series, part two. I am, this is a Civic Media production in cooperation with WAUK Radio 540 AM and Word Brown Spiritus Writing. I am your host, Don Brown, Downtown Donnie Brown. I am coming to you from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown in our beautiful and beloved Banting Park home. I am joined as always by the amazing, the mighty Max Martinson, my producer, always doing a great job. And in case you missed the first segment, we were talking about the big news of the day, which was the assassination of Charlie Kirk by a shooter that is yet to be apprehended. Authorities did have a person of interest in custody, but let that person go. So obviously they don't have the right, that person is still at large that committed this horrific act of violence. It was from 200 yards away. So this had to be a sniper with some skill, mean skill, you know, serious skills to pull off what is obviously a political assassination. And, you know, between me and Max, you won't find big cheerleaders for Charlie Kirk given his politics, but there's no denying the talents, even the prodigious nature of this man and what he's achieved. So, you know, what he had achieved in a very short life, and and a young family too, that with children that won't grow up to have their father with them. And so just very sad, and hearts and thoughts go out to him. And it takes place at a time, well, there was another school shooting today in Colorado. I believe three students were hospitalized. Just it was either a week or 2 weeks before there was a shooting at a Catholic church in Minnesota, a Catholic school church, where I think it was two or three children were killed and others were seriously injured, hospitalized. And, you know, in the local news, there was a big story today on Carmen De La Paz, the artist, the Waukesha, great Waukesha artist, who was basically the creator who designed the Waukesha Christmas Parade Memorial. And she's just put the finishing touches on a final piece of the installation. It's a sculpture of hands and a heart that will complete the tribute to those lost and injured in the tragic attack that took place on November 21st, 2021, 4 years ago. And so really looking forward to seeing that when that goes live. And then, you know, there's just so much violence and memories of violence that surround us. We are one day away from this will be the 24th anniversary of the 9/11 attack in New York City and in Washington, D.C. And another plane that went down in Pennsylvania. Just, you know, like really... One of the saddest days in American history for sure. And it just seems like violence and gun violence in particular consumes us. And yes, I'll admit the parade tragedy was not gun violence, but it wasn't, you know, a senseless violence for sure. And you know, we had a school shooting here on December 2nd of 2019 at both Waukesha South and one that was thwarted before it could happen at Waukesha North the same day. And my oldest daughter was one classroom away from that, what had transpired that day. And so it's, you know, there's no 6 degrees of separation from this. Like we're all affected by this. And in my own family, my sister has a son, her oldest son, her stepson that was at Columbine, was a freshman during that horrific act. Her youngest daughter, fast forward many years later, I think what year was that? 2010, maybe, was a sophomore at Centennial High School in Centennial, Colorado, when there was a school shooting there that I believe killed like one or two children. And so, yeah, it's everywhere now and it's really sad. And a good friend of mine from my time when I lived in Evanston in Chicagoland, is Charlie Madigan, who's a retired columnist, Chicago Tribune, political journalist, a wonderful man, great writer. And 40 years of experience, mostly with the Chicago Tribune. But when the shootings took place at so this is from August 27th, so it was a couple weeks back at the Catholic Church in Minnesota. He writes this article about the God. It's called "To God Who Gives: The Mass, the Message, and the Murders." And Charlie writes, "Ad altare Dei." In the days of Church Latin, the Catholic Mass began with the celebrant saying, "Introibo ad altare Dei." And then the altar boys, and they were always boys when the Mass was still offered in Latin, replied, "Ad diem qui latificat juventum meum." I know somewhere my mother's looking down and smiling because I nailed that pronunciation. She was a Latin teacher and I was a Latin student. This is an eternal and special message. Generations of altar boys had to memorize it before they could serve at Mass. The nuns used to prep them for months before they got their cassocks and surplices. Here is what it means. "I will go into the altar of God, to God who gives joy to my youth." That was the whole point. God gives joy to my youth. And that has changed now that Latin is gone. But the message in the Mass remains the same. It is a celebration that runs from the birth of Jesus to the crucifixion. When you attended Catholic school in the United States, the school year always began with the morning Mass, usually at 8 a.m. before you walked from the church into the school. For Catholics, that was an important, lovely ritual intended to set everyone on the same path as they walked into their classrooms. For those beyond the second grade, when most schools introduced the sacrament, there would be communion, a small white wafer, commemorating the Last Supper. The crucifixion was a heartbreak, and now we have another one of our very own. The death of any child is a tragedy, whether by senseless accident, illness, or unbelievable gun violence. But the deaths of an 8-year-old and 10-year-old in an assault during a preschool Mass at Assumption Catholic Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota, somehow seems particularly brutal. Despite the criticism of Minnesota Governor Tim Walz for suggesting the sending of thoughts and prayers, that is exactly what the spiritual response should be. But it commands more than prayers. It commands political action. In between the 2001 and 2021 school years, 515 deaths were reported in the school shooting in grades K through 12. This one sad statistic. It is one sad statistic, Charlie says. Here is another. Over 4,300 children and teenagers are shot each year. Even more troubling, no one keeps solid national statistics on these shootings and deaths. Excuse me. You can dig them up yourselves, of course, but very few people want to expose themselves to that much tragedy. Saying it is past time that we do something to limit access to guns as much a cliche as the thoughts and prayers response. Clearly, we are not interested in going to the altar of God. And clearly, we are not interested in giving joy to our youth. That was from Charlie Madigan, a retired reporter, editor, professor, and writer for 40 years, who lives in Evanston. But he publishes this wonderful, I believe it's like a weekly blog, and I'm really glad to stay connected to Charlie that way. He was a very dear friend during my time in Chicago, and his writing there really puts the nail on the head when you talk about those that are most impacted. And even though no children were shot that I know of when Charlie Kirk was killed, there are two children that are victims in this for sure, and those are his daughter and his son, his beautiful children. That will never get to grow up with their father. And of course, his wife, their children's mother too. And just, how she's processing this right now. I don't know. I don't, but, again, hearts, thoughts, prayers, and maybe, trying to figure out a way to, build a better discourse, to agree to disagree. The governor of Utah, interestingly enough, who spoke out, obviously, and offered his support to the family, but also denounced this senseless act of violence. He has started a group called, it's called Disagree Better. And it's kind of a consortium of, I guess, political punsters or people, you know, from opposing sides, and really work together to develop better dialogue, in one where they're, we're still brothers and sisters. We're still fellow Americans. We're fellow humans, riding Spaceship Earth. And, I hope that we can move away from what we saw today and move towards a more positive direction. And I don't know if we'll ever have any common ground on what, how we, with guns, but I would think after today, after a very talented young person was taken from all of us, and that's right, Democrats and Republicans alike, you know, we, real Americans like smart people who disagree with them. And no matter what we felt about Charlie's politics, you know, it's good to have a challenge in our debates. And, you know, here's to bringing greater integrity to our debate and integrity to our public officials and to our citizens, and understanding what, you know, being an active citizen really means, and finding the best path, towards peace, and towards justice too. So, but, you know, coming closer to home again, I wanted to hear Max's opinion, being a 20 something and a recently graduated college student. We can say that now, right, Max?
Yeah, officially graduated now.
Officially graduated. Congratulations. And, you know, they say, like, I think, what did Charlie say? Like 4,300 children are shot every year. And, you know, what, how are you processing all of this?
I mean, like we talked about in the first episode, like, I've never particularly been a fan of any of the politics or necessarily the opinions.
Yeah.
But like, I do think that it's very unfair and unjust for somebody to be straight up assassinated. I mean, let's not shy away from calling it what it is.
Yeah.
The only difference between this and the Trump assassination was that this one ended up in a real casualty. Obviously, neither of those two events should have happened.
No.
And as much as I don't agree with the politics on either side, they shouldn't have happened. That's just a straight up fact. If this was happening the other way around, if this was, let's say, you know, anybody on who leans more left,
Bernie Sanders or AOC or one of the other. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it would be a completely different story. But I don't think that whether you lean left or right, whether you are a major supporter or totally against anything of the politics of Charlie Kirk, there's no reason why you should be condoning this behavior.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Well said. Thank you on that. And, you know, with everything else going on, like, it's the start of a new school year, and there's always a lot of stress associated with that. There's football season. I think I gained 10 extra years after watching my beloved Bills come from behind against Baltimore. I don't know if any of you saw that game Sunday night, Max, or heard about it. That was really something. We are getting destroyed by Baltimore, just pounded physically. Derrick Henry is like one of the, you know, just one of the strongest people alive, I think, and he just steamrolled over it. And they were up by 15 with 8 minutes left. Baltimore wasn't. Bills came back and won it on a last-second field goal. And if you were a Baltimore fan and you were tired because these games go late, you went to bed, like, you know, right after Derrick Henry ran a 50-yard touchdown or something, to look like it was putting the game on ice. It was a rude awakening when you woke up, but it was very exhausting. It's a big commitment. And even, like I said, for the Packers, who had a very convincing victory over Detroit, or just played really well, there's a lot that goes into that. It is good that we have football and sports and those things. And I love the change of seasons, but there's also a lot going on in our lives. And then to have to deal with gun violence, to worry about it every day when you kiss your kids goodbye and drop them off at school, or take them to church. Or as our children get older and want to participate in, political events and activities, or or go to concerts. It's like, it's everywhere that you have to worry about senseless gun violence. And that's upsetting. And, you know, we've got a lot to think about here in Waukesha with the school board talking about, closing some schools. And, they added some more options recently. Let's see. There's a recent article in, it was in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and they're considering new options to address declining enrollment, including closing and selling several school buildings. Two new proposals were added. A community group, the Alliance for Educational Waukesha, is calling for the district to pause the process until an impartial impact study is completed. But the two new proposals that they've added after community feedback would keep Bethesda Elementary School open, a reversal from previous plans. But, so this new option talks about selling Saratoga Elementary and the Saratoga Complex, the White Rock campus, which, houses Alternative High School Waukesha East, the Pleasant Hill campus, which houses Richardson School that serves high need special ed students. Talking about hosting the K-8 STEM school at Les Paul Middle School, repurpose or sell the Hawthorne, Lowell, and Whittier Elementary School buildings. It would have two middle schools, just Butler and Horning, a new location for Waukesha East and Waukesha Transition Academy, which helps special ed students 18 to 21, or of those student ages, which helps, special education students ages 18 to 21, to be determined. There's a second option, which makes all elementary schools grades K through 6 have two 7th and 8th grade middle schools at Butler and Horning, repurpose or sell the Hawthorne and Whittier elementary school buildings, as well as Saratoga Elementary and Saratoga Complex, White Rock and Pleasant Hill campuses, host the district's K-8 STEM school and Les Paul Middle School, have three elementary dual language sites at Banting, Bethesda, and higher elementary schools, in a new location for Waukesha East and Waukesha Transition Academy to be determined. I mean, that's a lot to chew on. And unless you know those schools, you're really not sure what that means to you. But for those parents that have children at those schools, there's a lot to think about. There's a lot. And people have emotional connections to the schools, especially if their children have a specific need or the school has a geographic or say a great faculty, a geographic advantage, or a great faculty. There's a lot of big changes going on here that really deserve our attention instead of having to worry about whether our kids will come home alive or not. What else? We also, there's yet to be another candidate for mayor. It still remains Scott Allen as the only candidate, but I guess there is still time for people to announce, and it has been anticipated there may be a couple candidates stepping forward. Kevin Riley announced this week, the former state assembly candidate who lost to incumbent Scott Allen in the last election. I believe that was the 24 election. Kevin Riley is announcing another run for state assembly for the seat that will be vacated by Scott Allen. I believe that's 2026. So some aldermanic seats will be opening up. We know that. And then, as a final point too, I want to welcome, the Waukesha County Historical Society has a new executive director, Peter Zarin, who brings a unique blend of leadership, philanthropy, and a deep love of history. He's known for his award-winning work in public radio, and been recognized with Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards and Corporation for Public Broadcasting Honor. His background is in storytelling and fundraising, spans both New York City and Wisconsin, and even includes serving as an ambassador for a U.S. fundraising delegation to India. So Rhonda Baxter, who was on my radio show a while back, who's on the board chair, said that the Waukesha County Historical Society Museum is very excited to welcome Peter to our organization. His extensive education and professional experiences will be a great match with the high hopes we have set for the organization. We look forward to Peter's leadership as we grow to the next level and create best possible museum experience for Waukesha County. So I look forward to meeting Peter and hopefully having him on the the podcast. We have a wonderful historical society. In fact, I got a notice here that there is a, they have a lunch and learn in October on the Grace Lusk trial, a Waukesha true crime that took place during the Springs era. And although the story of the murder of Mary Roberts by Grace Lusk is familiar to many in Waukesha, the details of Grace's trial and conviction are a story unto itself. And in this presentation, John Shane Connect, our unofficial historian, focuses on those details in the very courtroom of what happened. The story of Waukesha's love triangle was featured in newspapers across the country. It was a crime of the century at the time when it took place. So that's $28 for non-members with box lunch, $25 for members with box lunch, or $10 program only, no lunch. To purchase tickets, call the museum at 262-521-2869. That's 262-521-2869. So we've talked about a lot tonight, and obviously the main event, I hate to call it the main event, but the big news was the assassination of Charlie Kirk today at a college in Utah. And this mindless menace of violence that continues to this very day and just seems to get worse. And, you know, would love to love to hear from many of you in Waukesha. If you ever want to be on the podcast to talk about this, you know, we live in a dynamic city. We live in a university city, the great history and so much growth and so much to look forward to. And, you know, we have our share of gun violence and maybe it doesn't get publicized enough, but it's important that we're talking about it and seeing what kind of, how we can come together for smart solutions. And it starts with building a more connected community. It was one of my, I guess, successes, if you will, as alderman in my own neighborhood, bringing people together and getting to know each other better. And I think the better we know of each other, the less we fear of each other, but more importantly, the more we look out for each other and really become one family, one community. So I want to thank everyone for listening in and indulging me on what is a very serious topic, and as well as sharing some, discussing some local Waukesha news. Again, if you want to be on the show, please hit me up on Facebook, on my Facebook page, or just send me an email to don@wordbrown.com. And don't forget the E.N. Brown, don@wordbrown.com. But yeah, send me a message on Facebook. And please remember, especially on dark days like today and with school starting, that safety is everybody's responsibility. Good mental health is everybody's right. We all owe it to ourselves to promote good mental health for each of us. And thank you again for being my neighbor and being part of this this week in Waukesha community. Goro Mila Mahagav Galer, and see ya!